Amen. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Shay. So great to be with you guys tonight. And really just loving our midweeks as we're doing some just times of equipping for you guys. And tonight's going to be, like Rob said, it's going to be a little different than most of our midweek lessons. I guess you could kind of think about this as a workshop or a time of equipping you guys as we learn how to really set up and effectively lead a Seeking God study, which is really someone's introduction to what it means to study the Bible and what it means to pursue a relationship with God. So I'm really excited to talk through this with you guys and really excited to give you guys some real specific questions that are great to ask in the study, tips and pointers. And so definitely want to encourage you to take notes on your phone, whatever device you have or notebook you got in front of you. So that way you can really absorb this and you can go do it this week or next week. You can lead your own seeking study. But this is going to be great. And, you know, like we talked about on Sunday, we're here to bring the kingdom to the city, right? To bring the reign of God to our college campuses. And so the only way to do that, to bring the kingdom, is to teach people about our King, is to teach people about Jesus, and is to teach people in the Bible what the kingdom of God is all about, right? The kingdom can't come if we're not equipped with the word of God, and if we don't really know how to show people why Jesus is the way, amen? And I'm going to read a scripture that's kind of close to the scripture Rob read in 2 Timothy. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Right? You guys, most of you know this scripture. And so Paul taught Timothy, right? Trained Timothy. And now Paul is encouraging Timothy to go and to teach others the word of God. And not only that, but to teach them how to teach, right? To multiply himself and to find people that can also spread the gospel. And so I really want to make this clear as we begin our time here is that God wants all of us, right? Not just if you're a leader, not just if you're an influencer, but God wants all of us to be qualified to teach others the word of God and how to become a disciple. This is for every Christian. This is for every Christian at every age. He wants us to be able to make disciples. Jesus himself was a disciple maker. And so when we made the decision to become followers of Jesus, we also decided to become disciple makers as well, right? You guys remember that discipleship study? Maybe there was multiple of them, but that's a decision we made, is we're going to follow in his footsteps and be disciple makers as well. And really, guys, the way any ministry, any church grows, the only way is by each part doing its work and making it a priority in our individual lives to learn how to study the Bible with people, right? The New York City Church of Christ would not exist if people didn't take time out of their lives to learn how to teach people the scriptures and how to make Jesus Lord. We would not be here on this awesome Zoom call tonight. We wouldn't be meeting Friday. We wouldn't be meeting Sunday. And so we need to really be inspired by the people that have come before us, that have really made their life priority. Hey, I'm going to learn how to be a disciple maker. And, you know, for me, just to share briefly, you know, I went to William Patterson in New Jersey for college in 2014, got there as a freshman. There was already a good amount of disciples there. And so it was nice to come into a school that already had a Bible talk, but I really didn't know how to study the Bible with people coming into campus ministry, you know, and I became a disciple when I was a freshman in high school. So, you know, I was already a Christian for over 4 years before entering campus, but I really didn't know how to study the Bible with someone. And so I basically just made the decision as a freshman of, hey, like, Rob, Matt, you know, people that are in my life teach me. Like, I want to know how to help people. And I want this to be a priority in my campus ministry experience. And guys, I made a lot of mistakes, especially my first couple of years. I mean, I made mistakes with sharing my faith. I made mistakes with leading Bible discussions. There's multiple times in the week where I would Vox Rob or text him and ask him a question about how to lead a study, or he would come and make sure the study was what it had to be. And but you know, as college went on and as I studied how to lead the studies and watch videos that other churches have done, I felt like, wow, God is really equipping me. And my confidence grew, right, as I was in campus. And I am so grateful that that was something going into college that I made a priority. Because we saw many men become Christians in New Jersey. A lot of them are still great friends of mine to this day. I was just getting sushi with some of them a couple nights ago. And just to, it's hard for me to think about them not being in my life. But it all started with me deciding, I want to learn how to study the Bible with people. And now they're my best friends. And so for me, just to kind of relate to you guys, it took work, you know, but I just decided, hey, I want to learn. And I just want to be used by God as much as possible. That decision I made was before I decided to want to do ministry. I was just a student. I wanted to be used by God, and I wanted to have a great time in school. And I know for a lot of you, that's the same attitude and conviction you have. But I do want to ask you, do you know how to help someone become a Christian? And if you don't yet, are you okay with that right now? Right? You know, out of all the things in your life, school, family, relationships, job, out of all the things going on in your life, don't you think that helping someone know God and have eternal life should probably be the number one priority? Right? I mean, amen, we need to do our best in school, glorify God with our grades, glorify God at work, you know, be loving to our family. But if there's anything that each week we should really think about and that should take up our time, it should be helping people get to heaven, right? That's really important, you know? And amen, we have a lot of things that are on our plate, but God wants to use you to help people get to heaven. I think a lot of us, we really do want to help people know God. That's your heart. That's why you're here tonight. You want to help people know God. And that's why we're going to dive into this seeking study here, right? And so we get to change people's lives in this way. And again, I really want to make this clear. Anyone can learn how to help someone make Jesus Lord. Everyone on this Zoom call tonight, you can learn how to help someone go from a total stranger to your brother or sister in Christ, right? This is not just for leaders or people who want to do ministry. This is for everyone. And so as Rob said, you know, we usually start these studies with doing a seeking God study. And, you know, tonight we're going to focus on this, but kind of the way you can think about it is maybe this is the first Bible study you learn. But then after you learn how to lead a seeking God study, which is, you know, really just four scriptures, three scriptures. After you learn how to lead the study, then you move on and say, all right, I'm going to learn how to lead the word study now, right? How to help someone make the Bible their standard. And then after that, you figure out, okay, I'm going to learn how to lead a discipleship study. And, you know, you learn to do those one by one. And then a couple years later, you can sit down and be able to really help someone come to repentance and help someone count the cost, right? That's something that is totally capable. All of you are capable to do that. And so you can turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's the first scripture in the study. We're going to look there in a second. I want to talk briefly about how to just set up someone's first Bible study. You know, especially for us as we're planting this church, as we're meeting students in person, as our schools are back in person. And so I want to talk a little bit about that, about how to just set up a seeking God study with someone. And to kind of equip you guys in that. So, you know, this, you could be reaching out to someone that you've known in school for a while, or you have a friendship with them, or you could be meeting someone for the first time, just, you know, cold contact evangelism. And it's been really awesome doing that at NYU. And, but basically, you know, you want to, as you're talking to someone, you want to ask questions. You want to hear, you know, did they grow up around Christianity? You know, are they looking for any sort of ministry, or are they just, you know, maybe they have grown up around church and they feel like, yeah, I feel like I know a bit of the Bible, but maybe they want to learn more. Maybe they really do want to do a Bible study. And so as you're just talking to someone and getting to know them, I think you want to feel out, all right, is this person someone who maybe just wants to first come out to a Friday night event or come out to a Sunday service? A lot of times what I'll say is, you know, we have Friday night fun events all around the city. And then Sundays we meet up, it's just college students, and we have a worship service in Midtown. And I'll just tell people it's basically a church for college students. But then if they, you know, seem like, yeah, really interested in that, I'll also tell them, you know, also during the week, we do one-on-one Bible studies or group Bible studies whenever works for your schedule. And we have this awesome Bible study series that helps us really grow in our relationship with God. And I'll ask them, is that something you'd be interested in doing on a day where, you know, maybe you don't have as much class, and trying to really work with their schedule? And sometimes they'll say, yeah, I'd love to do that. I'd love to sit down for lunch and do a Bible study. And so, you know, you want to find that time in the week and then pull another disciple in that maybe goes to the same school, or someone that makes the most sense to join that study, and have that kind of group setting. And obviously when you have that first study, it's good to, and we're going to talk about this here in a second, but it's good to kind of establish that you're in the teacher seat, you're in the teacher role, right? It's not just let's get together and share our favorite scriptures and share what we love about the Bible, but that you're trying to set this tone that, hey, I'd love to teach you some life-changing scriptures. You know, I'd love to look at some verses today, right? And I think, you know, now that we are in person, preferably it's great to meet in person. It's, you can really kind of connect with people more and read them. But at the same time, hey, we got Zoom. And so if someone's not comfortable with that, we can do Zoom group Bible studies as well. A lot of you were doing that during COVID. But we, you know, we want to pull people in, especially if you haven't led Bible studies before. You want to pull someone in who has. So after the study, you can debrief with them. You can ask questions about how it went. And so next time you can improve and do even better. And so we do have this awesome study series, and it's a great tool. It's helped me so much to reach out to other people. And so we start in this scripture here in 1 Thessalonians 2, which I love this scripture. I think it's such a great place to start. Let's read here in verse 8. All right, you guys ready? Now we're sitting down. You got your coffee. You know, the person sitting across from you, your brother, sister's next to you, and now we're about to dive into this study, right? And so we start here in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. So he says, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, right? And, you know, short and sweet, but man, it's really important to make this point. And to keep it simple, this scripture is making two things clear. And so what I'll usually ask them, it's always great to ask someone, hey, what do you feel like you got out of the scripture? You know, what do you feel like Paul is saying here? And sometimes it's good to give them that context of who Paul is writing to. But, you know, you ask them, hey, so what stands out to you about this? You know, what does it seem like Paul really cared about, right? What was he delighting in, right? And usually I'll specifically ask, what are the two things that Paul shared with them, right? We always want to point people back to the text when we're having studies, right? So you say, hey, so what are the two things? And then hopefully they answer and they say the right two things, but you help them out, right? But he says that Paul shared the gospel of God, but his life as well, right? And so you want to make sure that you communicate to this person, hey, I don't just want to look at scriptures with you. I want to be your friend. You know, I want to be someone who can be here for you. And I want to share my life. I want to share about my journey with God. You know, I want to be an open book. I want you to be able to ask me questions. And, you know, Paul, yes, he knew the Bible, but he really shared his life. And so you want to really make that clear that in these Bible studies, that's the goal, you know, is that you want to communicate, hey, so in these studies, really the goal is to understand why the gospel is such good news and learn about the gospel, but it's also to learn about one another. And sometimes they don't know what gospel means. I'll make that clear to them that it means good news, right? What we were talking about, the good news of the kingdom. And so this is just a great starting point. You're helping someone see, hey, this is what it's all about, sharing the word of God and sharing our lives with one another. And you can ask them like, hey, do you feel like you want to know like what's so good about this good news, right? And how do you feel about learning more about that? And so after kind of looking at that verse, you want to start to just naturally ask them about their life and their spiritual journey. I mean, this says to share your life. And so that's what we transition into in this study. Really want to make it clear that this is not an interrogation, right? When we think about this, you know, idea of the timeline, which is, it's great to help someone make a spiritual timeline. You don't want to interrogate them and be like, so how long have you been saved? Or, you know, when do you think you were saved? And just rattling questions off. But you want to just have a conversation, right, about their life. And so what I'll usually do is I'll just share my story. You know, I won't share it long, but I'll share a brief kind of background of my spiritual journey and growing up in church and when I decided to read the Bible, when I decided to really become a disciple and why I made that decision, and just give them my conversion story, basically. And then if there's another brother with me, which there usually is in the study, they can share their story as well. And so whoever you're studying with can hear from them. And then you want to just give the opportunity, whoever's studying the Bible, and just ask them, hey, so, you know, what's your kind of spiritual journey? Did you grow up in church? You know, and then maybe they start to talk about that and you can ask them, oh, what kind of church did you grow up in? Right. Because that's a really good thing to know, is we're trying to not just study the Bible, but study the person. And so ask them, what kind of church? And, you know, maybe ask them, hey, was there a time for you that you feel like you decided to really become a Christian? Like, can you think of a moment where that's the day you said, I'm going to be a Christian, or you made that decision? Because if that moment isn't clear for someone, that's pretty telling that they really have yet to make Jesus Lord. Because we know in scripture that when someone decides to follow Jesus, it's very clear, right? They see the cross, they repent, they're baptized. And so as you're just asking these questions, you're starting to understand their life. You're starting to get clarity on how to study the Bible with this specific person, right? Another good question to ask is, hey, was there a moment that you feel like you were saved or were forgiven of your sin, or receive salvation, and to kind of know what that moment looked like for them? You know, maybe they described something about saying a prayer, you know, saying the sinner's prayer, or something about the Holy Spirit. And so you're just, you know, you're just hearing, you're listening, you're learning. Another great question to ask is, so right now in your life, would you say that you're still living out Christianity? Like, would you call yourself a Christian right now? And some people we study with, it might be really clear going into the study that they're not. And so you don't need to ask that. but with other people, that's a good question to ask is, hey, so just to get clarity, would you consider yourself a Christian or a follower of Jesus right now? Or are you just trying to learn kind of what that looks like and what the Bible says about that? And so as we're asking these questions, either you or the person, the other disciple in the study with you, you know, it is good to kind of create this timeline. It doesn't have to be this work of art, but just having something down in a notebook that's really concrete of what this person shared with you about their life. Because as you keep studying the Bible with them, you want to be able to refer back to this timeline, right? Let's say eventually you get to a salvation study and you want to be able to kind of bring them back to what they shared, right? Because maybe once they get to salvation, they're saying, no, I really feel like I've been saved, you know, since I was 2 years old. You know, maybe that's something they're really saying. And you're trying to help them see how that doesn't line up in scripture, right? And so sometimes, honestly, people really enjoy talking about their lives, you know? Sometimes people's favorite voice to hear is themselves. And so as much as a timeline might feel weird, if you do it in a way that's conversational, that's natural, and as you're asking, you're kind of just jotting down these milestone moments in their life. And it could be non-spiritual moments. It could be just tough moments in their childhood or bad experience they had with faith. But as you're doing that, you're just really helping them see, hey, here's kind of your life and here's where you're at now. And so right now in life, how do you want to go after your relationship with God? And how can we help you with that, right? Again, you want it to be conversational. You don't want it to be an interrogation. And so as you're learning their life, learning their story, it's really awesome because then you get to really help them see, wow, God has been seeking you, right? All this has happened in your life. You went to this church, you went to that church, or maybe they didn't go to church at all, but they've been praying to find purpose. And then you can turn to Acts 17 and help them see how awesome God is, that he's a God who seeks us, that he's a God who wants us to find him. So let's look at Acts 17. You guys with me? Amen. Appreciate the thumbs up. So Acts 17, we'll read here verses 24 to 27. It was awesome. I was just reading the scripture with a NYU student from the Shanghai campus, getting some Thai food. Started out just a conversation about the meaning of life and turned it into a seeking study. And it was awesome. And man, this guy, I kid you not, I brought out the Bible, put on the table, and he was just like looking so closely. Like he just wanted to know, why are you showing me the scripture? What is this saying? And so I got really excited to show this to him because this scripture helps someone see their purpose in life. This is deep right here. And so Paul says in verse 24, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." And I'm sure as I read that scripture, you might be thinking back to your first Bible study, the first time you had someone show this to you, and as you were starting to seek God. And so it's so special when we get to help someone else have that moment to begin their journey to become a disciple. And so as I look at this scripture with people, I think, you know, one, you're really trying to help them see that God has been working in their life, setting the times and places so that we could even sit down and do a Bible study, right? And so I'll kind of talk through this here somewhat verse by verse, just to help you guys really get an idea of how to break this down in the study and give you guys some questions that are good to ask with the scripture. And so I think in verse 24, you kind of want to help them see, wow, like Paul's saying, God made everything, right? The world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. But he makes it clear, God doesn't live in temples. God isn't contained to these temples or these buildings. And as we know in the context here, Paul is walking around and he's seeing these objects of worship in the Areopagus, And, you know, there's this inscription that says to an unknown God. And so Paul's saying, hey, God's bigger than these human-made statues or temples. And so he's saying, hey, God is unknown to you, according to this inscription, but I'm going to tell you who God is. I'm going to make him known to you and what he wants in your life. And so you're trying to help them see that. And a question I'll usually ask after reading verse 24 and 25 is, hey, so does God need us for him to be God? Right? Does God need us for him to be who he is? Right? And you're trying to help them see, no, he doesn't need us for him to be God. But as the scripture is going to tell us, he does want us. He wants to have a relationship with us. Right? He wants to dwell with us. Because verse 25 says, as if he needed anything, right? He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life, breath, and everything else. So you're helping see, wow, God created the universe, everything in it. And then he creates us, right? He gives us life and breath. Says in verse 26, from one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, right? So you're kind of painting this picture. And then you kind of want to bring in this question of, hey, why? Why do you think God did that? You know, why did God create everything? Take time to make us human beings, giving us life and breath. Why? And then especially you want to ask this question, why, with what verse 26 says. And it says he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. You know, other translation says, sets the times and places where we would live. And you really want to help them see, like, wow, that's God's very involved, right? And so you want to kind of ask them this question of, hey, do you think God led us to each other, right? According to what verse 26 is saying. And if God led us to each other, then you really got to ask why. Right? Out of all the people you could have met walking on the streets of New York, right? Why? And what's so cool, what I loved, this is what I did with my friend at the Thai place the other day. I said, hey, here's what's so cool, Peter, is Paul is about to answer the question why in verse 27. Why God made everything, why God gave us life and breath and everything else, why God put you here at NYU in 2021 during a pandemic, talking to the skinny white guy from New Jersey. Why is this going on right now? And I tell him, hey, read verse 27. Here's why. God did this so that they, or us, would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far. That's amazing. And so we're trying to help them see, wow, so according to what verse 27 says, what does God want every human being to do? Well, he wants us to seek him. He wants us to find him, right? And you can help this person see, wow, so that's not just your purpose in life. That's my personal purpose in life. That's all of our purpose, is to be reunited with the very God who made us, to have a relationship with him, to find him, right? And really helping them see, wow, what do you think about that? That God, since the day you were born, has been seeking out a relationship with you. Even in your darkest moments, that God has been seeking you. How do you feel about that? Does that make you feel pretty loved by God, that he's been seeking you out so he can make himself known to you? Right, you're really trying to help them see how incredible this passage is. And then you can encourage them by saying, hey, and what does it say? It says, he's not far. You know, maybe you're studying the Bible with someone who really hasn't been around Christianity and feels like they're just a total pagan and off the rails. And you want to encourage them and say, hey, he's not far from anyone. He's actually the reason why we're together right now, right? And so it's such a powerful moment to do that and help someone see, wow, God's been seeking you. But then you want to transition into saying, well, so if God made everything, made you, the world, the universe, gave you life and breath, if he did all of this, because he wants to seek you and make himself known to you, then wouldn't it only make sense that we seek him back, right? That we decide, you know what, we should do our part of the relationship and we should decide to seek him back. And you can say, hey, so let's look at a scripture here about kind of a scripture that can teach us how to seek God in our lives, all right, with all of our hearts. And so you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. This will be our last scripture. Jeremiah 29:11. The scripture is all over Instagram, t-shirts, posters, very well-known scripture right here. Anyone who's been around church will say this is their favorite scripture. Awesome scripture right here. So let's read here, Jeremiah 29:11-13. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Right? And so as you read this scripture, you can kind of, you know, go back to how you were sharing your spiritual journey, and you can remind them of what it looked like for you to seek God with all your heart, right? And share personally about that. But really the biggest thing we're trying to help people see here is God, he's not trying to mess up our lives. He's not trying to interrupt them in a bad way. He's trying to lead us to these good plans for our life, that God wants good things for the person you're studying the Bible with. And so you can ask them, hey, so according to verse 11, what kind of plans does God have for your life? Are they good? Are they bad? What do you see there? Pointing them back to the verse. Right? Wow. Plans to prosper. Make sure they know what that means, right? To prosper. Not to harm, right? God doesn't want to harm, but he wants to give you hope. Guys, our universities need hope. Our classmates need hope. They need a future with God. And so you're showing them, wow, God is offering something amazing. He has great plans, but it's going to take us doing our part as well, right? And so we read here in verse 13, and you want to ask the person sitting down with you, hey, so according to verse 13, when will we really find God, right? When are we really going to find him? Is it when we seek him with 89% of our hearts, 90%, right? No, you're trying to help them see it's everything, right? It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And, you know, you can ask them like, hey, what's something in your life you feel like you've done with all your heart, right? Maybe it's a sport, maybe it's school, maybe it's something with music or art. What's something you feel like you've done with all your heart? You've just put all your effort into, and ask them about that, right? Ask them about what that looks like, how consistent that was in their life. And trying to understand how to relate that time where they did something with all their heart and applying that same energy to seeking God with all their heart, right? And you want to talk about, okay, what's that practically going to look like to seek God with all your heart, right? And so you can ask them, like, what do you think would be things that would help you know God? How could you find more about, know more about who God is? And, you know, most times they'd answer by saying, well, I feel like I need to read the Bible. And you really want to encourage them with that. Hey, you know, that'd be awesome to start reading the Bible every day. And to make that a priority in your week, right? God makes himself known through the word. That's how we get to know him. And we can be vulnerable and make ourselves known to him as we pray. And so you want to talk about praying. And I love encouraging people to pray some bold prayers, right? And just saying, hey, you know, how about you just pray, God, show me who you are. Show me what you want me to change. And even pray, hey, God, if you're real, show me in your word. Show me in these Bible studies. And that they start to pray faithfully, right? Maybe they pray for the first time that day. I remember I studied with someone in high school, and they were like, they asked me for permission. They were like, hey, could I pray right now? I'm like, why are you asking me? Man, pray, you know? But we want to encourage people, hey, start reading the Bible, seeking God, getting to know who he is, and start praying. And also to encourage them to continue to study the Bible. And so after you look at this scripture, you want to make it clear, hey, so we love to keep helping you seek God. We have some awesome scriptures that changed our lives, some awesome Bible studies that changed our lives. And we'd love to continue to meet up and look at even more amazing scriptures that have relevance in your life and that can help you, right? And, you know, you can also extend an invitation to the upcoming campus ministry event, invite them to church, or invite them to just come hang with disciples. You know, maybe you have the study and you know disciples are getting dinner somewhere in an hour. Say, hey, you want to come hang with us, right? And so they can see the very people that have already decided to seek God. They can see it with their own eyes, people of God. And so in this seeking study, again, we really want to end this study with asking someone, hey, so if this scripture says we'll only seek him and find him when we seek him with all of our hearts, we really do want to ask someone this question. Hey, would you want to seek God with all of your heart? Is that something you want to do right now in your life? Because if so, we totally want to help you with that. And it's okay if maybe they don't answer 100% yes that first study. Maybe they say, yeah, I think so, but I'm thinking about it. It's okay, but you really want to ask them that and get a feel for kind of where they're at after looking at the scriptures, right? And then from there, hopefully they say, you know, yeah, I really do want to seek God with all my heart, you know? Or maybe they'll say something like, you know, I think I do, but I feel like I need to read more of the Bible to know like how to do that. And you can say, well, great. We had to do the same thing when we were in your shoes, right? And as we read more scriptures, we learned about Jesus and what he did on the cross and what he's done because of our sin and for us, man, that's what changed our lives. And so I like to help someone see, hey, there's studies, they all build on each other. And as you keep learning more, it helps us to know God in a deeper way. And so God willing, after that study, it's good to get in the habit of setting up the next study, you know, maybe the same time, the week after, meeting in the same location, and just to start getting in that rhythm of like, hey, this is part of your relationship with them. You don't just do Bible studies with them, but you hang out, you're doing life with them, right? You're having fun. You're keeping that balance, right? You're not just trying to be their biblical mentor and teacher, their scholar, right? You know, you're trying to be their friend. And because you're their friend, you want them to know God. Amen. And so, guys, I hope this was helpful for you. I hope you got some good nuggets on how to really lead this study, how to set it up. We're here to help you guys. Again, this is something that we can all do. And I just want to leave you with this challenge is that by the end of next week, I want to encourage all of you to set up your own seeking study with a classmate, with a friend you've known, maybe someone you just met today, but to really make it a priority in this week and next week to set up a seeking study with someone. And if you feel like you need help with that advice, please reach out to us. You can talk to the Novaks, you can talk to me, Hannah, anyone that you feel like can help you make that happen. But man, it'd be so encouraging that this Sunday at church and next Sunday, we can see new people coming out and knowing that they're doing Bible studies outside of Sunday as well. So love you guys. Thanks for the opportunity to talk through this study. And I'm going to pass it over to Rob here.